I'll be reading from Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me.
I was so excited to be here, I was going to jump to scripture. Sure is good to see all of you here today. I pray with all my heart that you're giving God the glory. If you be here today, that things are not right between you and your Lord, that they would be right before you leave here this morning. There was these two houses, and both of them had an antenna on them. One antenna on this side and the other on the other side. One was a female, one was a male. One began to look at each other, and they fell madly in love with each other. And they said, we can't do anything, but we got to get married. So they got married, and the wedding ceremony was horrible. Everything went wrong. But my friends, they sure did have a good reception. I pray today that all of you will have a great reception of God's Word. That God's Word will be in our hearts. God's Word will always be our guide in this life. Our lesson this morning is stop, look, and listen. Many years ago, Don and I lived in Welford, South Carolina. And we lived right next to a train track. And you'll be surprised, brethren, how many people, I would sit out there on the porch, you'd be surprised as the train crossing with the arms that would come down, how many would try to beat the train. And it said that one thing as a train crossing, that you need to stop, you need to look, and you need to listen. Well, apply that today with the Word of God. I pray that all of you will stop and listen and look how wonderful Jesus Christ is to you and I. This morning we're going to be considering in the Bible, and many of our texts will be found in the book of Philippians. I pray that you take your Bibles, and I pray that you're following along with me in the Word of God, and we're going to begin our reading in just a few moments in the book of Philippians, chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And we're going to look beginning down at verses 21. My friends, isn't it a beautiful thing to know how much God loved the world? How much God loved you and I? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved us that much that he sent our Son. You and I that's in the body of Christ, you and I that are Christians, you and I are members of the New Testament church, a lot of times we take that for granted to know that we belong to God and we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. When we look and see how much that God has done for you and I, how much God will do for you and I, we want to look today and consider in these thoughts to stop and just forget what's happening in this world and absorb and to let it move us. My friends, I pray today that as you leave here, that you'll be more compassionate, more dedicated, more loving than you ever have been before in your lives, to let folks know why you're smiling, why you seem to be everything going well. We know as a Christian, everything don't always go well, but it can go well when we have Jesus Christ because he's with us every day of our life. Now look with me in the text. Paul is stating here, and we know that in this writing, he is in prison at Philippi. He's in this Philippian jail. And he pens this through the inspired Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. And he says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I want not. For I am in a strait between twixt two, having a desire to part and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in flesh is more needful for you. Now let's just back up just a few moments and know that as Paul was in this prison, as we know that him and Silas was there, and they were, the Bible tells us that they were in the most inner part. They was in the worst part, the worst criminals, they was all there, and they were in shackles. My friends, they wasn't at the Holiday Inn. They didn't, everything wasn't going very pleasant here. But yet, for him to be in a state to have joy, you look at the book of Philippians, Paul talks much about joy, to be excited about Jesus Christ, and to be in this condition, he says, for to me to live is Christ. Are you seeing that in your life today? You know, a lot of times, let's just take note, a lot of times we get in a rut, we get in our old ways, and we really don't get excited about being a child of God. We have everything. We are blessed people. We are the children of God. And we need to know what he has done for us. Paul says, as I live in the flesh, I'm torn. I want to go and I want to be with Christ. I want to be with him in heaven and be with God. But it's better for me to stay here with you, because he was teaching the gospel. He's trying to help teach them and to lead them to Jesus Christ. We need to live our lives today in such a way that when death calls you and I, that we leave this world to go home and be with our King, Jesus Christ. So we find here that Jesus is our purpose. A lot of times in life, it's not our purpose to live for Christ, even though we may wear the name. A lot of people's only purpose is to make other people miserable, or to make things havoc to others, and to look at doom and gloom in this life. I'm here to tell you, when Jesus Christ is our purpose, that we have everything to live for and to live beyond this life. My friends, I pray with all my heart today that we just look and we read the Bible, we study about the Bible, we talk about Jesus Christ, talk about his life, talk about his character that he led, the humbleness, the love that poured out of Jesus Christ, that must pour out of you and I. What is your purpose today? Why are you here today? I pray that you come to worship God, to lift him up, to worship him in that spirit, and to worship him in that truth. You know, my friends, if all we have is this life, we are men most miserable. I have Jesus Christ. You have Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He gave everything. That's why we should say to the top of our voices that Jesus is my everything. Look with me in Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Look with me in chapter 2 and beginning down at verse 5 and 8. Jesus is my pattern. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in a form of God, though it not be robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. There's a lot of people in this life who can sow and make everything. My wife, she's been gifted with that talent to sow and to make a lot of things, and I don't have that talent. I couldn't even sew two burlap bags together. They wouldn't hold together. I don't have that talent. But I do know that when you follow a pattern, you got to stay with that pattern. If you don't, it's not going to turn out the way that you think it was. When I was in middle school, I took shop class. And one of our tests we had to do was to follow the pattern, take the pattern, and to build a birdhouse. So I thought this was simple enough. I hope I get a good grade on this. And so I followed the pattern, put the birdhouse together. But my friends, I'm here to be honest with you today. My birdhouse didn't look like everybody else's. When the bird got in my house, he was going to have to do one thing. He's going to have to lean this way. We got to follow the pattern. It has to be by the pattern. It can't be by the pattern over here. It can't be by the pattern over there. It's got to be the pattern that God has already given. And if we go against any other pattern, then we are not in harmony with the Almighty God. So we must be in harmony with Him. What pattern are you following today? God just didn't throw us here and bring us here for anything. He gave us the way to follow. He gave us the right way. What does it say in John 14? You know that passage. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Only one way. Only one way. You know, I learned from my things. I learned from what happens in my life. One day we was traveling. Don and I was traveling. And yes, she was driving again. And I was sitting over in the passenger side. And I said, no, Donna, you're going the wrong way. This is not the right way. This is the way to go. She says, no, we're going the right way. This is the right way. Even the GPS says the right way. I said, no, it's not the right way. She says, well, I'm going to pull over, and we're going to ask that man standing right up there at that gas station, and he'll tell you which way is right. So she pulls in. She says, okay, go talk to him. So I got up there, and I'm all excited. This is one time I'm going to prove her wrong. I walk up to the man and say, you know, when we turn to go back to South Georgia, we're going to make a right, right? No, you're going to make a left. The way Donna said, go left. You know, we just think many times we think we are following the right way. We got to follow the right way of God. Things seem right. You know, the Bible says the way of a man seemeth right unto him, but the way of that is death. We got to follow the right way. So what is pattern are you following? You know, a lot of times I get excited and I want to tell brethren, I've been telling brethren for a long time, a lot of times things become old habit to us. You know, we need to go back and refresh our spirits, refresh our souls, refresh our hearts every day for the glory of God. We have to do that, brethren. And so we will stay refreshed in that right pattern. Notice what he said. Go back with me to the text. And being found in fashion as a man, Jesus came down. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. John 1:1. We know that God and Christ, they were there together in heaven. And verse 14 says, and he dwelt in the flesh. Look there and read that. He dwelt in the flesh. That was Jesus Christ. The Word came into flesh. He fashioned himself as a man. He felt as a man. He felt like you and I. And then in Matthew chapter 4 tells us that he was tempted like you and I. The devil came unto him and tempted him. And he was in a weakened state. He'd been hungry 40 days and 40 nights. Just think about that, brethren. We get hungry after a couple hours. He didn't eat for 40 days and 40 nights. We have the pattern. We have the pattern to follow. We're not going to have any excuses. Lord, I didn't know what to do. We have it right here before us. And I pray today that we are looking to the pattern, the only pattern from the Word of God. Now we want to look at our next thought for a few moments, that Christ is our prize. He's my prize. Why is he my prize? Look with me in Philippians chapter 3. Let's consider verses 13 verses 12 and 13 and 14. Paul states here, he says, brethren, I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere, and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. Paul knew what it meant to suffer for Jesus Christ. Paul knew what it meant to go through these things, these tribulations and these trials for Jesus Christ. He was scourged. He was beaten because he preached and taught the gospel, the good news, the power unto salvation, Romans 1 and verse 16, that he was not ashamed of, as many people in the church sometimes are. He's not ashamed to tell folks about Christ. He wasn't ashamed to tell them the truth, and he wasn't ashamed to stand up and speak it boldly. So we find here that this prize that we have, everything that we go through is Jesus Christ. Look what he says. In every step and walk of my life, I can do all things. Paul said that I can do all things. We know that passage. We read that passage. It's a beautiful, beautiful passage. But I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can make it in this life because I have Jesus Christ. There are so many people in this life that are letting all that they have slip away. One of the things that just tears my heart out completely is when I see members of the body of Christ who have been blessed in the blessings of Christ, who have been taking care of, taking part of the spiritual blessings, as we read in the book of Ephesians, and they get enticed, they flatter with the world, they get lured by Satan, and they walk away. They walk away from Jesus Christ. That's so sad that they let that prize go away. I tell you, when I look back now as I'm getting older, and I look at things when I did as a child, and they start to reflect back me to give me a good analogy. When I was little, all of you, some of the younger folks may not remember, but one of the highlights of my day when I was a kid was getting a Cracker Jack box. But it wasn't for the Cracker Jacks. It was for that little bitty prize that was most of the time down in the bottom of the bottom of the box. And I would dig and tear that apart and throw out the good stuff that you're supposed to be eating to get that little 10-cent prize. I wanted that prize. Well, that's the way we got to do. We got to live our way in such a way that we are striving, we are reaching, we're moving forward for that prize, Jesus Christ. That's what we should be in our lives. And we should be ashamed, including myself, ashamed of ourselves when Christ is the not building in our soul, in our lives. Now, I want you to look with me, and let's go to our next thought. Christ is my power. Christ is my power. As we said, we can do all things through Jesus. And then let me go back to verses 13 and 14 of chapter 3. It says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Reaching forward to that prize. And then knowing that the power that we have. Now I want to share with you a few things this morning. If you're here and you haven't been washed in remission of your sins, please listen to me. If you're here today and you, as most of us, many of us here today are Christians, I want you to listen to these passages. I want you to listen from the heart. Don't just listen from the ears. Listen from the heart. Turn with me to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5. And I want you to listen to verses 8 and 9. But God commandeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Listen now, listen real careful. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Now the Bible plainly tells us Jesus did not come to condemn, but to save. Now he did not come to condemn. He came to seek and save that which was lost. But on the day of judgment, he becomes our judge. He's our Savior. But in the last day, he becomes our judge. Are you ready? Are you ready today for that judgment day? Has Christ been your purpose of your life? That's the purpose of your life. You know, I've seen people, brethren, who are so miserable in this life that they want everyone around them to share in that misery with them. They don't want any kindness. They don't want any love to affect them. They don't want to be touched in their heart. I pray today that all of us have been touched in our heart to know the kind of Savior that we have. He is our everything. Look with me now. Book of Romans, chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Know ye not that so, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ? Now listen, we're baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. He resurrects us. He gives us that new life. We have that purpose to live. There have been many, many people in this life who have taken their life because they didn't think they had a purpose to live. We got to come up out of that dead. We got to come up out of that mockery of sin. And we got to turn to Jesus Christ. And then when we do, brethren, we know how to live. For the wages, Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus our Lord. This week we're going to try our best to bring lessons that will encourage you, lift you up, and get us to think about our lives. We are one step. We are one breath away into eternity. Are you ready for that day? And the way I read the Bible, and I'll be glad to discuss it with you if you see different, but the way I read the Bible, I read it and it tells me there's no other opportunities. There are no second chances after we pass from this life. We must be ready. We must be prepared. We must have our hearts in the right purpose. We must have our lives focused in on Jesus Christ. Let's look at one more scripture. Look with me in the book of Hebrews. I love this scripture, my friends. Hebrews chapter 12. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Look with me at verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Nowhere in the Word of God ever said it was going to be easy. We got to fight. We got to fight the good fight of faith and defend our soul every day. We got to run that race. And one thing we got to know, how do I do that? How do I do that? Look at verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. When we go away from Christ, when we walk away, it's like slapping Jesus in the face saying, you didn't matter to me. Jesus says, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. You ever read, and I love all the Gospels, but I love the account in Matthew chapter 27. You ever just go in detail and read what happened to Jesus Christ? They mocked him. They spat on him. They beat him. They scourged him with the metal tips. And all of that, and I'm so thankful, brethren, in all of that, Jesus did not walk away. He endured the cross to the end. And then he was resurrected that third day so you and I could have eternal life. Is that purpose? Is that the purpose of your life? To please God, to love God, and to love his Son, and to let others know that you love him, and don't be ashamed of it, to glorify Almighty God. One of the beautiful pictures that I see here, I hope I can take pictures before I go back. I love this area. But one of the most beautiful pictures that I want to see, if one of you here today will be in sin, you should turn away and say, Satan, I'm not living for you anymore. My purpose is going to be Jesus Christ. And you would come and you go down in this water. This water, you know, there's no special water. Brother Dennis didn't order special water, did you? This water right here, this water, it's going to save you through Jesus Christ. It's a symbolic symbol of washing. But when you go down, you like going down in the blood of Jesus Christ. And you bury that old man. You leave him there. You don't resurrect him back up. And you resurrect that new creature, that new child of God, to live until God comes to send forth his Son, or we leave this life passing away, taking our last breath, going into the beautiful eternity in the paradise with Jesus Christ. Isn't that a beautiful thing to know that this life is not everything? It's not. We have a beautiful, beautiful place waiting on you and I. My friends, please take this lesson. Please take it to heart. I don't get to preach all the time up here in this area, so I may go over just a little bit, but I'm not going to ask you to forgive me because I did it intentionally. But brethren, I love you. I appreciate you. And no, you're not in this by yourself. Lo, I'm with you always. Even until the end of the world. Christ is my purpose. Christ is my pattern. Christ is my prize. And Christ is my power to overcome. You remember in the book of Revelation? It tells us passage after passage after passage, we shall overcome. Overcome in this life. Don't take it all. Take it all what the devil is offering. Now, the Bible says you can't serve two masters. A lot of people want a chocolate cake and a coconut cake. Oh, they want all their cake at one time. We got to take what God gives us and take it and use it and edify it and build each other to the glory of God. No, brethren, I love you, appreciate you, and I want to be in heaven with you. But we're not going to be there if Christ is not our purpose. If you need to repent, be baptized today, please, please come. If you need to repent and confess faults in your life as a Christian, please come. If you need prayers to help you make it through this life, come. Don't go away today discouraged. I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me. To all the glory be to God. If you need to come in any way, let us stand. Let us sing.